Welcome to Rising Stars in the Sunshine City, the Millennial Edition. I'm Karen Carmichael. Today, I'm speaking with Brad McCoy. I met Brad when he decided to start a neighborhood association in Lakewood Estates. Brad, welcome to Radio St. Pete.
Thanks for having me, Karen. Appreciate it.
So you oversee clinical trials for a lung cancer screening test, consult with pharma and medical device companies. You're the founder and president of the Neighborhoods of Lakewood Estates, the treasurer for the Take Mar Tree Committee, and a board member of the Sustainable Urban Culture Coalition. And then you also volunteer with urban forestry. When do you sleep?
Not often, but I keep myself busy and love what I do.
Yeah, I guess you've got a pretty busy schedule. All right, so tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you made your way to St. Petersburg.
Yeah, so I'm a Florida native from Lakeland, Florida. I went to Harrison School for the Arts for high school. I've studied music for about 10 years in my earlier childhood and late teens, early adulthood. That career took me to China, sang with the Chinese National Orchestra. I've sang at the Kennedy Center, and that was pretty much the end of my music career. And then I moved to Tampa for HCC and USF. I studied biomedical sciences. I worked as a microbiology teaching assistant at HCC. I worked in an outpatient pharmacy at the Moffitt Cancer Center, and I also worked as a clinical research coordinator in the neurology center at USF.
Wow, why did you get into clinical research?
So clinical research, my career started there. It was really interesting. My mom was diagnosed with MS. Around the time I graduated from high school, she started attending visits at USF. And during one of her visits, we talked to the doc about a research opportunity. I started out as a volunteer clinical research coordinator, and then it moved into a full-time position. And that was the start of my career. What's really interesting is my mom has MS, and she actually was able to enter one of the clinical trials that I had at the time. And she became part of a really small subset of patients that don't necessarily see their disease cure, but it regresses backwards. So single-digit percentage, like 2 to 3, maybe 4 or 5% of patients actually see their disease state get better. And she was one of those patients. So it really hit home for the start of my clinical research career, and it was a great start to it.
So how did you get involved in the lung cancer research?
So again, hitting home, my fiance's mother was diagnosed with mesothelioma about a year after we had met. And at the time, I was looking for a career advancement opportunity. And it just came across my desk that there was a startup out of California that was looking for a clinical research manager. I took the position, and now I've been working on a blood screening test for lung cancer. And it's been a great opportunity to work in a field and in a position that really hits home. Unfortunately, she passed away last year. She was a great woman, but it's been a great career.
So you really put your heart into your career.
Yeah, I have.
So why did you get involved with environmental and agricultural work?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I graduated from college and working 3 jobs in college and going to school full time, I kept myself really busy. Post college, I got a 9-to-5 job and then just got pretty bored. I started web development. I taught myself how to design websites and do a little bit of computer programming, but got bored working 9-to-5, my full time job, and then 5-to-9. At my computer still. So I took up beekeeping. It was probably the most random thing that I did, but I really appreciate it. And it's a really interesting field. It's ever, you can learn something new about bees anytime you pick up a book to read about them. There's so much to know about them. So I took up beekeeping from my apartment. I planted some beehives over at my grandma's pasture in Mulberry, Florida, and traveled back and forth between them. Beekeeping led to plants, and then plants led to permaculture. So permaculture is a style of gardening that is cohesive with nature. You plant on different levels. You plant the ground level, the tree level, the bush level, but you do things to have a sustainable backyard garden. So now I've worked my way up to having bees, black soldier flies, chickens, and we have about 70 plus fruits and veggies in our backyard. And it's everything from, your typical household tomatoes, citrus, and things like that to rare and tropical fruits that you don't typically find in America because they don't store well or they don't transport well. So for instance, we have a cecropia tree that they call the gummy worm fruit. It hangs from the tree. It looks like a like a worm, sort of. You pull it off the tree, and then it tastes like gummy worms. It's strange. So we've made this huge backyard garden. I've gotten chickens from, or bought chickens from a chicken geneticist over in Plant City. She breeds chickens based off the egg colors. She has purple eggs, yellow eggs, green eggs, blue eggs, the shell of them, of course, not the inside. And then the garden, we've grown vanilla. We make our own vanilla extract. We make teas. We make all kinds of stuff from the garden. So it's been a fun adventure, and it's kept us busy and away from our computers, which has been nice.
So aside from gifting honey and vanilla, like you did for me the other day, what do you do with your products?
Most of it I give away and give to my neighbors. I do sell the eggs a little bit because building the chicken coop and keeping up with the chickens is a little bit, it can be a little pricey. But otherwise, I give everything away and just try to share the knowledge of how easy it is to garden in this area. We live in a really special zone where you can grow almost anything year round. We don't have the winter break. We don't have the snow. So if you plant it at the right time, you'll see success. Maybe don't plant midsummer. But otherwise, yeah, it's a really great area to plant. I just want to share that knowledge with everybody.
And you do this all in a backyard in Lakewood Estates?
Correct. Yes. So part of the permaculture system is to contain it to a small space, or you can contain it to a small space, and you'll see it come to life in a pretty short period of time and be very productive in a very small area.
So what is the Neighbors of Lakewood Estates, and how and why was it created?
Yeah, so Neighbors of Lakewood Estates, or NOLE for short, is a neighborhood association that I founded and became the president of in early February. Our neighborhood consists of about 1,600 homes, and we have so many great people in our neighborhood. They do so many great things, but there was no avenue for collaboration. Everybody was kind of doing their thing on their own. I started a garden tour. I was looking to have more community gatherings, and I kept hearing from neighbors, we like these ideas, we want to see more of it, but there just wasn't that place to convene and see it come to fruition. So I created Neighbors of Lakewood Estates. We now have 10 board members. Our board members are from all walks of life, all different ages. They have all kinds of ideas. We have women in technology, currently women who taught some of the first computer programming languages. We have people in the science field, people that work in the real estate industry. It's a wide range of minds that have gotten together, and we have a lot of great ideas. One of our first projects is beautification of our sports complex that sits against our neighborhood. And so this sports complex has two buildings that are kind of gray right now, kind of boring. We're going to paint them, hopefully with a paint by number mural. So we want to have the community collaborate on the process to beautify this area and really feel ownership for this area. So we're looking to do a paint by number mural. You know, we'll have a muralist come out and sketch it. We'll have the neighbors use paint and find their number and spruce up the building. Some other things we're looking at doing is there's a little playground. Maybe we'll have a chalk zone where we draw some stencils of different things. For instance, like a butterfly. Kids can go there, use the chalk, color it in, and then rain will come and take it away. And then it's a whole new art project every time you come by. And then another thing we're considering is hydrophobic paint. It was a concept that we saw at a recent neighborhood summit that the city held. And this hydrophobic paint will show art once it rains. And then when it's not raining and the sidewalk's not wet, it disappears. So it's a really cool concept we have going over there. We received approval from the city. We're working on it now, just gaining ideas from the neighbors, and hopefully we'll see it come to fruition here soon.
That's great. Are you going to use a neighborhood partnership grant to fund some of it?
We hope so. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think you'll get enough volunteers. It certainly sounds like you have enough volunteer hours.
Yeah.
So, well, good. Good for you. What pushed you to get involved in your community?
So St. Petersburg, the city of St. Petersburg, is a really unique area. I see the opportunity to grow as a person here. And then also there's many opportunities that the city offers to have your own community grow, and you take part in that personally. So, you know, if you want to see your community change, you have to be that change. And why not step forward and take some action? Like I said, there's so many great people in our neighborhood. And with an avenue to collaborate now, I see us going far and doing a lot.
Well, you are obviously very involved in what's going on in St. Petersburg. So what do you see as maybe the biggest challenges for St. Pete in 2024 and then moving forward?
Yeah, so 2024, biggest challenges for St. Pete, with nature being one of the closest things to my heart, tree canopy losses, one of my biggest concerns. We have a lot of older trees here. Laurel oaks, for instance, are found all over the city, and they're reaching an age where they can't sustain anymore, so they'll be coming down pretty quickly, especially with hurricanes and climate change. We'll see a lot of this change in upcoming years. In my neighborhood specifically, we're doing a tree mapping program to help the city understand where our what our tree landscape looks like. So we're mapping the trees, the size of them, and helping them understand the different biodiversity in our neighborhood to hopefully stay ahead of this tree canopy loss and keep St. Pete looking green and lush. Some other issues or challenges that I see for St. Pete going forward are the warp speed growth, population and structural. So population-wise, we have seen, in just in my 7 years, we have seen so much growth. Structural, we have seen so much growth as well. I know I go down Central Avenue or 4th Street, and it's almost like every other building is a new building or has changed in some sort of way. And there is healthy progress, and then there is progress that is too fast and too quick to keep up with and may not be the healthiest. So I just want to see us have healthy progress forward and healthy development that keeps the uniqueness of St. Pete in mind as we go forward.
Well, that makes me feel really good to know that someone who's young is looking forward in that direction, because really there is so much going on now. And as you said, in the last 7 years, the downtown area has grown by leaps and bounds over the last 20 years. And now you need to figure out ways to use the side streets to get around. Like, for so many years, people just use the first avenues. And probably 15 years ago, people stopped using Central Avenue downtown because, you know, it's all start and stop as people pull in and out of parking spaces, right? And then we moved over to the first avenues, and then the bus came there. And so people have mixed emotions about that bus, right? It doesn't bother me at all, right? But I know some folks who have used the first avenues for a very long time, you know, as an alternative to get from east to west. We're a little miffed about it. But I've been traveling on the Fifth Avenues now, north and south, to get in and out of the downtown area because, it's just growing by leaps and bounds. And I feel like the roads that are blocked as a result of construction, you know, make it hard to get around. I think once everything settles down, it'll probably be a little bit easier. But right now we're going through such a growth spurt, right, that it's kind of hard to get around down there. So moving forward, you've got a list of stuff that you are involved in, and it might be hard for you to pinpoint one thing, but what do you think is your biggest accomplishment?
My biggest accomplishment, I would say, is just being where I am today in my life. I moved out of Lakeland at 19. I started with $5 in my pocket that first week. I worked 3 jobs, going to college full time, and it was a challenging experience, but it was one where I learned a lot, and it shaped who I am today. It gave me a better view of the world. It gave me some sympathy and empathy for a lot of people that struggle in life. And now I have a family. I live in one of the coolest cities, and I'm looking to expand our family here soon. I have a good job. I'm just very fortunate at this point. So I'd say my biggest accomplishment is definitely just being who I am and where I am today.
So along the way, though, you must have had a mentor or two. Who would you say is your mentor, and can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, I'd say not one mentor. You can learn something from anybody or everybody. Few along the way, definitely my fiance, Sam, just teaching me patience and always having my back. Stephen Hawking, I'm a big fan of his, just never give up and always push through no matter what issues you have or what obstacles are in your way. And then of course, my grandmother, Sharon, she's taught me I can do anything I put my mind to. So a lot of mentors that I could list a long list of them, but those are my three top.
Speaking from experience, grandmas are pretty fabulous.
They are.
I know, because I am a grandma. So, and I have a grandson, but of course he's young. But anyway, I think grandmas are fabulous. to wrap it up today, what's a book or a podcast or a movie that you'd recommend? I always ask people that I interview to give me some pointers. I'm finishing now the Atlas Six. I've actually read the latest Hunger Games book as a result of a recommendation from someone in this interview segment, and seen the latest movie. So, what do you got?
Yeah, so with books, I'm a nonfiction person, and the goal with a book for me is not necessarily to read them front to back. Sometimes I may know some things that are already in the book, or I just get bored with it. So the point is to at least learn something from the book, or take as much as you can from the segments that you read. One of my favorite books is by Richard Dawkins. It's called The Selfish Gene, and it's a book on perspective, but it's also some really dry science material for anybody that's interested. It talks about evolution and how it's not just competitions of species, but it's also competitions of genes themselves. So again, very dry, not everybody's cup of tea, but take what you can from it. Don't read, the whole book front to back. Just read some segments and learn a little bit here and there. As far as a podcast goes, I love Stuff You Should Know. It is a podcast on anything and everything. They've been around for years. They will teach you an hour-long segment on mangroves, for instance, or an hour-long segment on dry cleaners, and you'll learn more than you possibly wanted to know about a dry cleaner or mangroves. But again, it's interesting, and you never know when that information will come in handy. And then as far as a movie goes, there was a recent one on, I think it's on Netflix, and it's called A Man Called Otto. It's a Tom Hanks movie. Who doesn't love Tom Hanks? But it's about a lonely man who lost his wife. A neighbor moves next door, and she's kind of annoying, but she's really nice, and she has good intentions. And the message I take away from the movie is you never understand what anybody, or you just never know what anybody's going through. And one small act of kindness can change somebody's world.
And isn't that the truth? One small act of kindness can change somebody's world, right? We always try to pay it forward. Well, you've been listening to Rising Stars in the Sunshine City, the Millennial Edition. And today I was speaking with Brad McCoy. Brad started his own neighborhood association in Lakewood Estates. He oversees clinical trials for lung cancer screening tests, and he consults with pharma and medical device companies. He's the founder and president of the Neighborhood of Lakewood Estates, the treasurer for the Take More Tree Committee, a board member of the Sustainable Urban Agricultural Coalition, and a volunteer with Urban Forestry. An all-around interesting guy, Brad McCoy. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Karen, for having me.
You've been listening to Rising Stars in the Sunshine City, the Millennial Edition. I'm Karen Carmichael for Radio St. Pete and Sunshine 96.7 FM. Don't forget to join us for our spring fundraiser at the Hawthorne Bottle Shop on Thursday, March 7th, and Foodie Labs on Friday, March 8th. Between 12 and 5 p.m. Check out our Facebook page for details. And thanks for listening.